I mean, good day, wherever you are. I'm so excited to have everyone here with me and excited to really get this started because it's supposed to be, you know, a line of series. It's kicking off pretty much what we will be doing for Favio Gears. I'm so excited because it's the first of so many that we'll have. And today, I'm glad that we're speaking with Temi Tokwe. And I think we can do well to get acquainted with one another before we get to Temi Tokwe. So I'll just go by myself. My name is Maiowa, and I am your community host. And I'll be here to pretty much guide everyone here to knowledge of what we want to do here today. So I'll just pass the mic to, let me see, Abimbola. Introduce yourself and pass the mic to someone else.
Hi everyone, my name is Abimbola and I'm glad to be here, super excited. I can't wait for us to start. I can't wait to hear Temi Tokwe, you know, tell us about everything about yoga. So it's very exciting and
Okay, so I'm not sure Ken is with us right now, or maybe he's not able to get his mic. So like I said before, I'm so excited that we're getting this started because it's number one of many. And it shows how much knowledge we have in store to share with pretty much our community members as they grow. And I'm glad that we're able to get started here with one of our own, Temi Tokwe Shonui. Temi Tokwe is, he runs his own yoga business, and he will be sharing with us today some of his own experiences and how it comes to play on yoga as a whole, and how other people can come to pretty much benefit from his experience. So today we will be talking about the pains, the stresses, and headaches of having a yoga business. And I think we'll just get started right away. I'll have Temi Tokwe introduce himself, and then we'll get into it. Hi, Temi Tokwe. Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Maiowa. How are you? Thank you so much. I wanted to give AKP Jr. an opportunity to intro themselves. I think we may have skipped them, or maybe I missed it, and if so, pardon me. But I'm doing
well. Okay, yes. Please, AKP Jr., please, if you wouldn't mind, please introduce yourself.
And hi. Mike. Hi, everyone. I am Abraham, and I'm also super excited to be here. I can't wait to hear from Temi Tokwe as well.
Okay, great. Great to have you here too. So we'll get back to you, Temi Tokwe. Please let us know a little about yourself and I guess a little about what you'll be sharing with us today.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for the intros and for... I don't think I remember the last time people said they were excited to hear about something I said, but I appreciate it. So a bit about me and my background. So my parents immigrated from Niger in the early 80s. And they came to the United States. I planned to go back, and I'm not going to make the story that long, but just to give you a little bit of background, like how we're here. They had planned to go back, but then the economy took a turn for the worse, and they ended up staying and having a fair amount of kids here, and so hence the name and the cultural background. So I was born and raised in Southern California, exposed mainly to American football, and played that a lot. Got into technology as I was graduating school around the time the first .com boom and bubble happened. Which spurred me to move towards engineering, and then after I graduated university quite a while ago, early 2000s, I came out to work at startups in technology. I had done computer science, Came out to work in startups and technology in Southern California, not too far from home, and you know, take my hand at the sort of startup game and space. While I was doing that, unbeknownst to me, as God was planning, I would become a vegan and a yoga instructor, and I did not see that coming. And there's a longer story in there of like I met some spiritual man who taught me how to meditate, and that was slowly started changing my life. But yeah, it was unexpected. So I had this place where God put yoga and technology sort of at a crossroads in my life, and I feel just I have had a compulsion to dig on that spot. And so because of that, you know, I was a teacher for about 10 to 11 years. I don't teach currently. Kind of more on the technology side with like Fave Yogis, etc. But I spent about almost 10 years teaching regularly, not full time ever, but regularly, and sort of seeing some ins and outs of the business and different yoga teachers in the space at, you know, different levels, right? From people who do like retreats for thousands of dollars per person to people who are just sort of part time and, you know, working at a studio a couple days a week versus full time studio teachers. And sort of seeing the scale of economic activity and the way different people have made it work from top to bottom. And of course, inserting myself in the technical space, which I think is all the more relevant now during COVID. So I'm gonna be answering questions that sort of revolve around my experience with yoga and business and technology. Yeah, I hope that's clear. I know I rambled a bit there.
All right. It's so great to hear quite the bit of things you've been involved with over the years. I mean, that level of experience, we are so excited to share from it tonight, or rather today, as the case may be. So I'll just dive right into my questions and see how we can move forward from there. So please feel free to share your experience.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Just I wanted to make sure that this was at least open to being interactive, so if folks have questions, I don't know if there's a means of raising hands or anything, but please feel free, you know, through Maiwa, of course. I don't want to take the moderation role at all, but yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay, so if you do have questions, please, I think you can raise your hand. I'm not sure if that feature is available right now, but just do well to signify, and I'll give you the mic, or I'll rather pass the mic to you. So I'll get started really, and so first question here is, what made you get into yoga?
That's a great question. Sorry, one more thing before we start. I just wanted to double check if we're recording this. I don't know if Bobby Mbola or...
Yes, it's been recorded.
Fantastic. Sorry if I messed that up. So what made me get into yoga? Very interesting. So growing up, I was not exposed to yoga much more than like popular culture, which was mostly making fun of it. No one really understood it. I didn't particularly take to it. I didn't know much about it. There was a time where I would exercise a lot, you know, in terms of lifting weights, et cetera. And I know that when I was doing that, you know, this is, you know, post-college, early years of, you know, early adulthood, I would always be passing by this yoga studio, and I would know it was a yoga studio because people would be going in, usually women would be going in with yoga mats rolled up, and I was like, oh, I would never go there. It does not make sense to me. You know, I'm into like strength and weightlifting, so I didn't associate yoga with that. So I ruled it out, but I knew it was around. I was working one day, and I had to take a lunch meeting, and when I took this lunch meeting, I ended up running into a random sick man. I don't mean sick, S-I-C-K. I mean sick as in the religion, S-I-K-H, I believe it is, Sikh. They wear the turbans, and they're from India. But we had a magical conversation that I believe was divinely planted, and that conversation led to me learning some meditation techniques that would eventually lead me towards a deeper practice of yoga and the physical practice of yoga But if I didn't have this very chance random meeting with, I think, God-sent angel, I definitely don't see how I would have gotten into yoga. So it was very, maybe not random, but very, very defined. It was very obvious. Like, I'll never forget that moment in my life.
Okay, that's great. It's really nice to hear that what seems like a very simple moment is oftentimes a very predestined moment. So you were destined to meet that Sikh and in that day, and that's what's made you to get into yoga. So my second question would be, what type of yoga did you teach, and how long did you practice? Are you still in practice, or will you still practice?
Sure. So there's two sides of practice. The practice of teaching people and the practice of taking, being taught, or doing your own yoga. But let me go back to, what type of yoga do I teach? If you wanted to be like technical, people might say like Ashtanga yoga, although it's a derivative of Ashtanga yoga, but power yoga, which is sort of coined, a westernized form of yoga, if you will, at least in terms of the poses and things like that. But power yoga, vinyasa, is kind of a common categorization of teaching physical yoga in the West. But it's very much seen through like a corporate lens, and like physically taking a class versus some of the deeper tenets of yoga, right? Like, which is like meditation and like self-awareness. So, but yeah, technically, let's say power yoga is probably the best way to put it as far as the type of yoga I taught. I've been taking yoga. I've been practicing yoga as a student since 2008, and I still do today. Or I wouldn't say 2009. I think I've been teaching, I'd say 2012, between 2010 and 2012, transitioned to teaching. So taught for about 8 to 10 years, with some, weekly frequency at least. But around a little bit before the pandemic started, I had taken a leave from teaching explicitly public classes. I taught a few private classes here and there. And then when COVID came, I think I leaned more into the technology and was just doing video courses online, and sort of released a library that will later re-release at some point, probably through the Fave Yogi's product. But that's sort of the breadth of the time that I've been sort of involved with yoga as I know it.
All right. I was asking if when you do practice, like you mentioned, I was asking in regards to teaching, is it something that you still look to get into?
The question is teaching something I'm looking to get into when I'm practicing?
Yes, practicing in terms of teaching.
Oh.
You did say yes.
Yeah. You're right. Good question. I think it's something I'm going to want to come back to when I get older. I'm not young particularly, but when I get even older than now, perhaps like retirement, it's something I'd like to definitely continue to practice the whole time, but I might get more into teaching again later down the line.
Right. Okay. So I have another question here. So what were some of your yoga inspirations? I mean, yogis like yourself, who you've either come across in your experience as a yogi, and pretty much mentors, I guess, or just friends that you're inspired by, who are some of the people that are your yoga inspirations? Yeah, I don't know if you could share that with us.
Sure. There's probably too many to fully name, to be honest with you. I have on my TimmyTopaYoga.com page, I have a gratitude page where I tried to, this was like years ago, I haven't added to it since, and I definitely have more people to be thankful for and to in my journey. But even then, it's like, oh, just hundreds and hundreds of people that have inspired me on my journey. Some that I even forgot their names. Some that may not be particularly, you know, well known, but certainly a lot. I mean, Paramahansa Yogananda, you know, the guru, you know, with very deep understanding of yoga beyond even the poses. You have Brian Kest, a very popular teacher who started one of the studios that I started at in Los Angeles. And I know I'm forgetting some, Krishna Kaur. She's fantastic. And she's been teaching for a long time, and she's from the Kundalini sect of folks, which is more connected to like the Sikh religious space and things like that. So, but I'm not even scratching the surface. There are so many other folks that I would still need to and want to probably teach, or sorry, give thanks to, for you know, contributing to me getting into things and teaching.
Okay, so I'd just like us to dive into it as in regards to our topic today. I feel like we've been having to get to know you and too much your background into yoga. So get into what we want to discuss today properly. And my next question is, what's been your biggest struggle in managing, or what was your biggest struggle managing your yoga business, and how were you able to handle it?
Sure. I don't know if I'd point to one thing as a single, like, largest struggle, because the landscape has been changing so much since I started. And at one point, like, depending on what you're aiming to do, you'll encounter different challenges. Like, I know that when I started, and I think still, the sort of larger yoga studio chains sort of had like an outsized amount of power in the dynamics and the payment and economics of like teaching yoga. So if you're just doing it even part-time, you know, you're maybe getting $20 a class last time I checked. And so I think just like people making a living teaching yoga alone, just off the top, is like, for the average person, if you haven't really thought about it, is a challenge, just because it's not a high paying job, generally speaking. And most people are just like running it, you know, themselves, right? They're not really employed, you know, in a full-time fashion at most yoga studios in the space, at least in, you know, the US, Southern California. So I think just like, yeah, figuring out what you're going to do, what you're going to be able to offer, and how to even productize it in the first place. And this was complicated, obviously, by the coming of COVID. It's all the physical yoga studios shut down. And so heavy emphasis on digital.
Okay. So I'll just dive into the next question. And this one is in regards incidents or experiences that you might have had in your yoga business as a practice. I mean, that's in you teaching. What are some of the experiences that you've had that remains top of mind to you, and what makes them top of mind?
I mean, there's so many sides of it, and so many times. I'd say one thing that remains top of mind when I think of business and yoga in the spaces I've been is it's lessons I've learned about like owning locations, where you teach, teaching with groups of people. You know, in some cases I've seen, you know, setups where, in fact, there was a case where it was a setup where, as a yoga teacher, you pay rent, and then you get donations when you teach class, and whatever, you know, is above rent is what you make, right? Which could be, you could be losing one day, you could be not, et cetera. And I recall we would also like, you know, sometimes, you know, be filmed by folks in the studio, et cetera. And it was like, you know, we didn't think much about it. But then there were times where situations would come up. And when you think about like power and control over your image and where you can teach and how much you get paid, it's like, it really does matter who owns the studio, who owns the content that's being recorded, when it comes to like actually running a business, right? And so I think participating in quite a few sort of like online platforms with like that we're recording for video, and seeing how they're able to like monetize that content long term has definitely had an effect on my like understanding of the business and where you'll want to be to have more control than like the average teacher in terms of like, can you do this for a living? And what kind of proceeds do you see for the work that you put in? So ownership is a, you know, in the very American business sense, is something that I remember being very important in seeing how money came and went. You know, and I was fortunate enough to have like sort of the backdrop of like being able to work in tech to like support that and not rely only on that. But I've seen cases where, yeah, that wasn't necessarily, you know, someone didn't have that privilege. And it could be quite difficult.
Okay. So, are there any regrets that you have from starting a yoga business? If not, do you have things that you love or things that you would look back to and say that, okay, this is one of the reasons why I need to eventually get back to teaching yoga, because it's one of the reasons why I love yoga? If you do not have any regrets, if you do have regrets, share with us. If you do not, tell us some of those things that you do love about yoga that makes you want to come back into practicing yoga.
Sure. I'm fairly mindful of language, but even then, I don't have any regrets of getting started. I would do it the same way, you know, a million times. You know, I try to improve here and there, but I would definitely go the route. I think it was a blessing upon my life to fall into this yoga, you know, rabbit hole and get, you know, basically swallowed up in it. But you know, I have no trepidation or fear of that. It's been a boon, a blessing to my life, really, a gift. And it's, I think the biggest thing it's given me is a practice. You know, I recall, you know, when I was young, if I was charged with having to like, you know, pray for an hour a day, even half an hour a day, and it was like, that's what you just do, I'd feel pressed, you know. But I feel like as I've gotten older and fallen into yoga, and through like habits of meditation, you know, it's like that happens, you know, where there might be times where you can, you know, meditate, pray, whatever you want to call it, for a good amount of time and enjoy it. And I just never thought that would be a thing, you know, growing up with my understanding of like meditation and prayer. So that alone is a reason I'd say I have zero regrets at all.
Right. So you mentioned how yoga helped you to improve yourself, to your prayer. And my next question is tied to, you know, how yoga's helped you to deal with some of the struggles that you are faced in the yoga business, as it were, and even as a tech person.
Okay. Well, thanks for asking. I think the biggest thing has been the regularity, right, when you're practicing. And especially for my personality, you know, get into a routine and you do this, a similar thing over and over again. And I think both the physical practice of yoga and the sort of mental practice of yoga as well, the meditation part of it, both very nicely complement a balanced life, and like no matter what you're doing. So even when you're going through business and things may be going down or up, if you're maintaining a practice of keeping your mind even, that's going to benefit you, right? Your circumstances won't determine your sort of internal mode as much, which is a good thing. That's stability for business. Similarly for like, you know, working on tech stuff as a software person, if I'm sitting down at a desk, you know, all day typing and looking at words and keys and typing messages, it's good to stretch the other part of the body, you know, of the actual physical body, not just the mind. So sitting down all day and then having an intense power yoga workout in the evening or maybe before you start your day has always been a fantastic compliment, I believe, for me in my life, because I'm sedentary so much for work and I don't like to run or walk much, to be honest.
Okay. Thank you for that, really. So I guess it's one of the things that, although, because my next question is going to be tied to recommendations for other yogis in regards to the same kind of struggles. But I guess you were able to cover that in between answering the last question and pretty much telling us how yoga has helped you to, you know, stay calm in regards your yoga business and even tech generally. I don't know if you have any other addition to that recommendation, or I just move on to my next question.
Thanks for asking, given the opportunity there. I mean, I could wax poetic about the benefits and the beauty, internal and external, of yoga for a long time. But if you're not like already dialed in, that might be a bit much. So I would spare folks, but I would advise people to, I would say do not cut out the yoga to make the business happen. Make the yoga happen, whether it's the physical or mental or both. I think the business stuff will follow. So I think that's sometimes a possible trap that can happen, even with folks who are just like teaching classes, right? If I don't own the studio and I'm, you know, don't own any of my assets and I really just make money every time I teach, I have to teach to make money, then, you know, you have people teaching 10 classes a week, you know, twice a day. And sometimes that can creep into your personal practice time. And I would say that's not worth it. you know, so that's all.
Okay. So this is supposed to be, I'll just say we're branding up. So as a yogi, yes, meditation is supposed to teach you purpose. It's supposed to teach you how to stay aligned with your calling, as it were. And question is, do you think that your business as a yogi is or was set up with this purpose in mind?
Yeah, that's an interesting premise and idea and thought there. Thanks for the question. My business as a yogi is set up with this purpose in mind. I don't know. I feel like it just kind of happened. I do believe that it, when I say it just kind of happened, I mean like I didn't necessarily set it up to align in this way. I feel like just the circumstances that God had set up like made it fall in this way, where it's like, okay, you're into business, you're into technology, and like ultimately I do want the work that I do and the things I produce to benefit others in a positive way and have a positive net impact on other folks' lives. And I think any spread of yoga does that, whether it's me teaching it or not. I think so whether it's people who want to get it online, people who want to get it in person, people who want to do it on a Zoom call, you know, live, pre-recorded, I think that getting more people to tune into themselves and their, you know, purpose, as you put it, you know, finding their calling internally is just good for the planet overall. More mindfulness is, you know, people will learn what they need to by just being quiet and listening, you know, to what's coming from within them. So I hope that the things I'm doing increase that awareness that is spreading over the planet slowly but steadily.
Okay, thank you so much for that. My final question is before I ask anyone else, because I just ask anyone else, if you have a question for Timmy Talkway, please get your question ready, because it will come after he answers my next question. So, Timmy, what do you envision for yoga and, you know, yogis in the nearest future? You mentioned something about bringing other people into a state of mindfulness. Does that come to mind when you think about what Yuga will be in the future and generally what the space will be for yogis?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, it's speculation to an extent. I think there's so many levels to what is going to happen in the future and things that might even get, you know, evolved past. But I think one big thing that's like obvious, it doesn't take a you know, crystal ball to see, is yoga being more digital. So whether it's in virtual reality or online videos being replayed or what, or, you know, streaming off YouTube, people learning yoga over digital means more people will be able to learn. You don't have to go to a physical space to now learn these things. So I think there's going to be just a continued explosion of people learning this, you know, old science. You know, yoga is actually a science, you know, that can be like, you know, held up to like, you know, testing things and seeing the results of it, usually within your own body. So spreading that knowledge of a science of like inner awareness is increasing. And so I think that's the digital pressures that are on the world now are going to just make that happen even faster. And you'll see yoga in a bunch of different places. I don't know if yogis will one day be seen maybe closer to sort of like a health workers in a sense. You know, it could become sort of attached to the old Indian Ayurvedic, I think, tradition of like health and medicine. So I think there's going to be maybe a closer alignment and a respect given to like yogi MDs. And there are actually quite a few now, you know, because now that everybody's doing yoga and it's very popularized in the United States, you'll see people in every career path that like have a yoga sort of certification, because we've commoditized and corporatized in American fashion this very ancient, you know, science that usually you had to be a disciple of someone for your life and get the knowledge. Now with the internet, you know, they're making, like McDonald's, they're making yoga teachers everywhere, you know, and I came from that effort, if you will, in a sense, to get your little certification. So I think you'll see that, right? There's yogi police officers, yogi dentists, yogi, you know, teachers, yogi MDs, etc. So I just think it's going to be more and more prolific as you know, we learn more, we have more knowledge as humans. So it's not going, I don't think it's going backwards anytime soon or a fad.
Okay. Thank you so much, Timmy Topway, for sharing your experiences with us and, you know, your thoughts generally. So I'm about to throw the mic open to the room. If there's anyone with a question for Timmy Topway, please, you can have the stage. If you notice that someone else wants to go, please just let them go first and then you get your turn. But please, if you have a question for him, please do go now. Yes, please do.
Sure. That's a good question. So I think it ties back to that point I made about things that had impressions on me and about the yoga business, things that were top of mind still. It's ownership, right? Talking about owning the space or owning the content. In the digital world, the equivalent of like having a location and owning a place, you know, studio, is having a website. I think that's like ground zero, number one. Like, maybe you could say more essential than a website is having an email. Okay, I'll give you that. But even when you have an email, you kind of want to post it on a website, right? You want to be able to have your own sort of part of digital real estate where you can eventually put on your content, you know, that you maybe film yourself, right? Or you film with someone else, but you have access to that. You can run your own platform, and that can be where you monetize from. You can connect it to other businesses. You run your own mailing list. But all that starts with the website. You have to have a location, right? You have to have a home, a place to tell people to go to, right? When you teach your classes, whether online or otherwise, people should be able to get access to your storefront, right? If you build a business and no one knows how to get there, it's inaccessible, then you know, you're sort of failed before you've even started. So that's foundational stuff. That's like having an email today. If you're doing yoga and business, you should have a website and at least a plan of how your content is accessed digitally. You know, in this day and age, every studio, so most studios shut down, most physical studio chains, at least in Southern California, actually United States, shut down during the pandemic. Some were able to pick back up and manage. But even now, every studio that's even thinking, some are just completely disappeared and only have a digital footprint now. Some studios have come back, but even if they've come back, they all offer digital options in case a pandemic or something comes down again. They all want to be ready now to say, hey, we have content online you can access. So keep paying us money, even if you can't come to the studio. And so it's just everything is leaning that way. It's a no-brainer in a sense.
Okay. Faye, did you let us know if he was able to cover your question? Okay, great. So I don't know if there's any other question. If there isn't, I think I'll just ask my own last question. Tell me, what do you think the influence of having a community for your yoga business? Yes, and how influential do you think communities can be on yoga businesses?
Yeah, I think that's the next foundational block, right? Once you have a place and a location, that's a spot that you can use to rally and connect with your community, right? Whether it's through message boards or Discords or apps like Fave Yogis and discussion chats. But community is everything, right? The yoga teacher, you're not a yoga teacher unless you have community, right? Who you're teaching, maybe yourself if you want to be reflexive, but I think having a community that's connected and connectable and that can support one another, it's like the founding block of one of the founding blocks of any society, any group of folks. These are people that people do this even in the business sense. They've broken it down to like knowing your audience and knowing your community and like supporting your community and being supported by your community. When you have that community connection with people that you're teaching or about yoga and obviously learning from in a sense, those are the people that would support your business, right? Those are the people that are like kind of ambassadors for the work that you do and like recommending other people and helping the community grow. So it's incredibly important to have a community. If you have a website and things and there's no community, if you are, I'd love to see. I don't see many examples, and it's not common that I know of to be able to run a business with no community, right? You're not asking, it's a fairly intimate practice and space, right? Deep breathing and like emotions definitely has a personal aspect. It's not something that can really be coldly commoditized in sort of a strict capitalistic sense. So all the more reason, like community economics, essentially in a sense, as you give the people something and they sort of complete that exchange of energy, right? Represented usually like monetarily perhaps. But yeah, you got to have a community to have business. They go together.
Right. Thank you so much. We feel like we've had so much to gain from you tonight. It's just been so much knowledge in display. We're so glad to have you join us today and have you share your experience with us. I think you've done well to, help other yogis be able to relate to some of the pains and struggles, and even giving recommendations as to how to deal with some of these struggles. So we thank you very much, Timmy Chakwe.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you all for taking time to attend. Even folks that aren't necessarily into the yoga space here. Great job moderating, Maiwa. Thank you, Bimbola, for setting up. Appreciate all the questions and the introductions. If there's anything else I can help with, let me know. Yeah, you guys make it easy. This is a topic I definitely spend a lot of time thinking about. So no problem here.
Rasin. All right, Rasin, thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody, from Abimbola down to Efe and then Timmy Topa himself. If I didn't mention your name, I didn't miss you. I just tried to gather everybody under one bubble. So I guess this marks the end of today's session. Please, if you do not follow us on socials already, please do. We are at Favio Gears, Instagram, and Facebook as well. So please do follow, and have quite a lot more to share with all of us. And we're looking forward to the rest of our sessions like this. Again, thank you guys for joining, and as this marks the end of it, my name is Maiwa again, and I think your moderator. So I'm just going to say good night.
Good night. Thank you.